Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, the newest bishop on the block in England and Wales. Who is he and what's on his mind as he prepares for ordination in Westminster this September? And in the footsteps of Saints Francis and Claire, find out about a Franciscan pilgrimage program offering hands-on experiences of the saints from Assisi in the places where they lived and founded their religious orders. The Diocese of Westminster in England is one of the smallest dioceses in the country as regards geographical area, yet it's the largest in terms of Catholic population and priests. With a total of 214 parishes, it serves mainly the central and northwestern parts of London, plus the county of Hertfordshire to the north. Headed by Archbishop Vincent Nicholls, with two auxiliaries and semi-retired Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, the diocese is about to receive a new auxiliary bishop, appointed by Pope Benedict at the end of June. He's Father John Sherrington, a moral theologian from the Diocese of Nottingham, and his episcopal ordination will take place on September the 14th in Westminster Cathedral. I caught up with him during a flying visit to Rome to ask him about his feelings and about the challenges which lie ahead. Tell us, first of all, what was your reaction when you first heard this news?
When I went to see the nuncio and he told me this news, I felt very humbled, very privileged to be asked by the Holy Father to take on this responsibility. At the same time, excited but daunted, feeling apprehensive about the responsibility which was being entrusted to me.
It is a bit of a daunting task, isn't it? Westminster, one of the most high-profile dioceses perhaps in the country.
Yes, it is. I realised I'd need to rely on God's grace. I'm really quite a private person, but it's a very high-profile public role, so there'll be some change in getting used to that.
Tell us a little bit about your parish life in Nottingham. You've been up till now, haven't you?
The last few years I've been working at the Good Shepherd Parish in northern part of Nottingham. It's a large, vibrant parish with about 900 people attending Mass on Sundays. We've many young families, over 100 children come to our 10 o'clock Mass. And the people are very involved in the ministries, reaching out to others. We've two vibrant schools. And also we have responsibility for the local hospital, which is an acute hospital, as well as some responsibility for mental health care in mental health units.
Going there to Westminster, you'll be one of the auxiliaries. Do you have any particular ideas as to what sort of role you may be taking on, what particular areas of interest you'd like to be working in there?
Well, the Archbishop's asked me to take a particular interest in Hertfordshire, and to have oversight there to encourage the priests, to build up the parishes, to encourage the life of faith in Hertfordshire. He's also said that because of a background that I have in moral theology, he hopes that I'll be able to contribute to the work of the conference.
You're talking about building up the faith of the church. Many would see this as quite a difficult time to be doing that, a certain crisis of faith perhaps in England, in Ireland, of course, at the moment as well. You've had experience working there too, haven't you? How do you see this particular challenging time for the church?
I think that first of all, we have to build up trust again with people. The new safeguarding procedures all help that to happen. But by building trust, then we can continue to communicate the gospel. And in a sense, deep within people's hearts, there's a readiness to hear that. But we have to break through all those barriers that develop, that stop people hearing the gospel, clear out something, build up trust. And then I think the love of God will communicate itself to those people.
How much did the papal visit to Britain last year, do you think, help to achieve some of these goals that you're talking about, to rekindle, if you like, a certain interest in the gospel message and to perhaps build up a new sense of trust and confidence in people?
For me, it was wonderful to see the Pope in the midst of our politicians, meeting Her Majesty the Queen, meeting so many different people who had faith and didn't have faith. So I think that first of all built up trust again. People saw the Pope as a very human character, a fatherly figure, And that was immensely helpful because we'd received a lot of bad publicity before his visit. They saw a fatherly figure who was concerned for the good of people. That helped immensely to build up confidence again. And then with the high-profile meetings, for me, there was a particularly moving moment when the Pope spoke in Westminster Hall, spoke to the nation, its politicians, its significant people, and emphasised the role of Christian faith. And that, I think, for me, was a profoundly moving moment.
Where were you at the time? Were you in your own parish? Or?
I was in my own parish at that time, so I watched a lot of it on television. About 30 of the parishioners went to Coughton Park, came back jubilantly rejoicing after that visit, but I wasn't able to go myself.
There's going to be a big celebration this coming September, isn't there? Looking back, if you like, over the year and the effects that the visit has had.
That's right. I'm looking forward to the celebration of the Mass in Westminster Cathedral on the 18th of September, because I will then have been ordained a bishop, and so I'll be able to join in and celebrate and remember that visit of a year ago.
My thanks there to Bishop-elect John Sherrington, whose episcopal ordination will take place on September the 14th in Westminster Cathedral. You may have visited the Umbrian hill town of Assisi, and you may have been to the great basilica where St. Francis is buried. But have you seen the spot where he received the stigmata, the site where he created the first Christmas crib scene, or the places here in Rome where he stayed while seeking approval for his newly founded Franciscan order? Walking in the footsteps of St. Francis was the original goal of a pilgrimage programme started several decades ago by some very enterprising Franciscan friars who wanted to bring the spirit of their founder to life in a particularly vivid way. Today, that programme has developed into a flourishing business, offering pilgrimages not only to Umbria and Rome, but also to the Holy Land, to Prague, to the US and Mexico, to places where the legacy of Saints Francis and Claire is thriving today. To find out more, I met up with the current director of Franciscan pilgrimage programmes, Father John Seller from Wisconsin, and marketing director, Sister Anne Bremer, from the St. Francis of Millvale community in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I began by asking Father John about the origins of the programme and exactly who the pilgrimages are designed for.
In 1972, Father Damien Isabel, a Franciscan friar, had an idea of sharing the concept of spirituality of place for the young Franciscan students in the United States. And he wanted the friars not only to read and to learn about St. Francis, but actually to breathe the space, the air, and see the sights that Francis himself saw, and to try to get a spirituality of the place of where Francis and Claire lived and died, and to go back home again with a different perspective, more of an experience rather than just an academic approach. Eventually, as time went on, more and more friars took this up, and eventually the sisters, the Franciscan sisters, started joining in. And again, that changed the dynamic a little bit because now we're having men and women going on this experience and experiencing Francis and Claire. Many years later, we moved into the level of secular Franciscans, they being able to also identify with Francis and Claire and Assisi and Rome. Eventually, it developed into something a lot more. In the United States, there are several health systems that are run by Franciscan, mostly Franciscan sisters. And as the number of sisters went down, they wanted to continue the charism of St. Francis. And they thought a good way of doing this was to bring over people, their administrators, their docs, doctors, and nurses, and other people working in the hospitals, to come over to experience this Francis in terms of a spirituality of place and to know Francis in a different way than just academically or burning books. So it developed into a rather large program. Recently, we've had over 40 programs every year, and our numbers are going up.
But these are pilgrimages designed for those who are already involved, who are Franciscan friars, sisters, or seculars, as you say.
Initially, it was for the friars, the sisters, the secular Franciscans. Now in the health system, you actually have people who are not even Christian. A number of Muslims, a number of Jewish people would also come on our programs, again, to experience the charism of the founder of the institutions where they work.
Tell us something about then some of the programs that you have. As you say, I've seen that you have programs for the healthcare administrators, also for schools you're involved with, aren't you?
Yes, we have programs for high schools. So we have the high school students coming from various parts of the United States that will come over for an 8-day experience of walking in the footprints of Francis and Claire. And it is to help them understand Francis and Claire, but more importantly, how do they live their faith out today? How do they deal with the value systems that the world projects? And then, you know, what is Jesus calling them to? So we've had many programs that we do each year for various high school groups. And we even have a group of high schoolers that come from Australia. So we're pretty international in the group that come. We also do, the Association for Franciscan Colleges and Universities also has a program so that it is a diverse group of universities in the United States that send students, university students, over for pilgrimage in December.
Another interesting program I saw on your website is one for military, for veterans, building on the life of St. Francis himself.
Recently, there's been several discussions and thoughts about it, and we were talking with one of our friars who just retired. He's a captain in the Navy and was a chaplain with the Marines over in Fallujah in Iraq, and experienced the devastating what happened to the students and to the young soldiers. And we were thinking, though, St. Francis wanted to be a soldier, and he wanted to be a knight, and he went to war, and he probably killed people in this war. And then he was captured, and then he was imprisoned in Perugia for at least a year. And then when he came home, he was lost and couldn't find himself. And, of course, they don't use the same words, but that sounds an awful lot like the post-traumatic stress syndrome. And in talking with Conrad and talking with some other people, we thought the idea, wow, maybe Francis has something to say to our young men and women who have been serving in the military. And we put together a program that concentrates more on the question of, you know, why do young men and women go into war and what happens to them and the experience of trying to find a sense of peacefulness and whatever. And we had our first program not too long ago, and it was a tremendous success.
What we have on staff is someone from Franciscan Pilgrimage Programs who has in-depth knowledge of Saints Francis and Claire, as well as having a chaplain who himself has served in the military and a psychologist who's worked with the Veterans Association in the United States to help us in the process as people deal with issues that they experienced in the war so that we can help them.
So this is far more than just a pilgrimage, isn't it, as you say, to the holy sites, or even just a taste of Franciscan spirituality. This is a real, a life-changing experience, I imagine, for many people.
You're right. It is a conversion. It is a conversion experience for all the people that go on the pilgrimage.
What's interesting, Sister Anne mentioned the idea of the high school pilgrimages. The former president of our board of directors, Kent Lovern, who's the deputy DA in Milwaukee, he challenged us one time to say, you know, he deals with young people who are from the ghettos and who've experienced nothing but violence and whatever, and can we do something to help these young people learn that there's something more than just ghetto life and violence? So he challenged us to develop a pilgrimage for inner-city high school kids based on the concept of nonviolence, being a peacemaker, and being a leader. And that's how we start developing our high school programs. So we're working very hard and trying to give these young people an experience that life can be different. And we had a fundraising event about 6 months after the first experience. And these students who went on the pilgrimage had to give testimony of their experience and to talk about their faith in Jesus Christ and, you know, the experience of Francis and helping them to all their classmates. And it was, I mean, you sat there and listened and you cried knowing that, you know, a tough ghetto environment, all these kids are tough. And here these young people are proclaiming their belief in Jesus and how Jesus can be a force in their life.
Are there any particular people who stick in your mind, particular people you've had on these pilgrimages who really have changed you in some way too?
There was one of the young women who was on the pilgrimage, a high school student. As her teacher came around the tomb of St. Francis and knelt at the tomb, she said, "I knelt at the tomb too because I thought it was the right thing to do." It was about outer experience, you know, the appearance. And she said, "As I knelt there, I prayed for the first time in 5 years. I saw her a year after that experience and was talking to her. And she said it had changed her life. And her mother came back to the high school the following year to speak to other parents, testifying of what happened to her daughter in the midst of that.
So this is an experience that really touches many people beyond just those who come on your pilgrimages.
Yes, because the families affected oftentimes, at least with the high school students, change of attitude, change of behavior, their involvement in the high school religion program or in their parish. I have students that often come back and then become engaged as helping to sponsor other students in confirmation classes and become CCD directors themselves.
One of the reasons why people are selected to go on the pilgrimages are the hope and expectation that when they come back to the institution, whether it be a hospital or a parish or a school, that these will become leaders. Again, not trying to make them mini Franciscans or anything, but just to give them an experience of Jesus Christ and how Francis saw him and how they can change other people's lives. So there's far outreaching things. Like in one of the universities, Cardinal Strict University, sends about 15 of their staff and students on pilgrimage every year. And now there's over 150 of their people have been on pilgrimage, and they're a vital, strong force within the university community, being a presence and also being of service and being people of peace.
Let's talk about these sacred spaces, the places that you visit. Obviously, Assisi is the main focus, I imagine, of most of these pilgrimages. But you also go to other places too, don't you?
Yes, we do. One of the places that we go to is Liverna, up in Tuscany, and that's where Francis received the marks of Christ. And in his own struggle to let go and surrender to God, it was in his total giving over to God that he received the marks of Christ. And so that's one of the special places that we go to on pilgrimage. We also go to Greccio in the Rieti Valley, and in 1223, Francis celebrated Christmas there and reenacted, in a sense, the Christmas story. And it enlivened in people's hearts. Christ became alive again for them. So each of our pilgrimages goes to Greccio also as we re-celebrate the incarnation and how Christ is present with us today.
And you come to Rome too, don't you?
Yeah, besides coming to Assisi in the Rieti Valley, we also come to Rome because Francis himself came to Rome to seek approval. Francis was very concerned about always remaining very Catholic and very much connected to the Church. And so we go to, of course, St. Peter's. You have to go visit St. Peter's. And St. John Lateran's, because that's basically where the baptism of the Franciscans took place. And there's a little church, St. Francis of Ripa, that has a connection to the Secular Franciscans. But besides the pilgrimages to Italy, though, we also have pilgrimages to the Holy Land. You know, Francis himself wanted to go to the Holy Land, and actually there's a connection between him and the Sultan, and hopefully we're trying to establish more and more relations between Catholics, Christians, and the Muslims. So the Holy Land is a very upcoming program. We're having 6 programs coming up next year. And then we are also go to the California missions. There was Father Juniper Serra, who established a lot of Franciscan missions in California. And we try to, again, connect the idea of the spirituality of place, a little bit of the history of the friars, and how it has been an impact on them and on us. A new program we started a few years was the Franciscan intellectual tradition. Sometimes we forget about the other great Franciscans like Bonaventure, Duns Scotus, and others. And we had a 2-part program, one in England and Canterbury, and then the next year they went to Paris and Cologne, where Duns Scotus was. And the next program we have?
We're going to be going to Prague, and we will open up, so to speak, the letters of St. Clair, because she wrote to St. Agnes of Prague, and we have 4 of the letters that Clair wrote to Agnes, and so we will go to Prague to the monastery, which is now a museum, but we'll open the letters up and look at what Clair had to say to Agnes.
One other program that we haven't established yet that we really want to is establish a business pilgrimage. You know, we talk an awful lot about spirituality. We talk about, you know, experience. But there's also the reality of business and profit. And we think that Franciscan philosophy, theology, has a lot to offer the business person. And some of the great accountants, and actually the founder, Father Barnaby, was the founder of what we call credit and loan services and banking, and trying to help the people. There's nothing wrong with profit as long as it's a respectful profit. It's something that does not greedy and does not hurt people. And we're trying to establish programs where young students in business programs can come over. And again, they have lots of head knowledge, but there's a need for bringing it down into their hearts so it becomes part of their lives and not just something that they, you know, some people, I think, go to church on Sunday, and as soon as they leave the church, they forget about everything else. And we're trying to make that connection. So we're continually expanding, and hopefully we're trying to respond to the needs of the people and not our own needs.
Why do you think St. Francis has specific suggestions, if you like, or a specific lesson for those working in this field of finance? We don't think of him traditionally. We think of him connected maybe to the environment or, as you see, peacemaking, but not to the world of high finance.
Well, I think it's really the brothers that come after Francis that take the concept of being, you know, men and women who also worked for peace and justice in the world. And when you come to finances, it's a justice issue. How are the common good served? And many times, the friars were working with people who were experiencing usury and were losing their farms and their property. And so that the friars in their banking system were able to give them loans at a low cost or no cost so that they could help people. And it was in that spirit that the development into the banking and into finance developed. So it's a sense of justice.
And I think also part of it is that when you look at a lot of business models today, it's based basically on the bottom line. And Franciscan looks more to the person. And I think as we're finding out, if you take care of your environment, if you take care of your people, that the profit level grows stronger because people are healthy, the world's healthier. I mean, one of the sad things right now is that people made fast bucks, fast profit at the greater cost to the environment, and now we're paying back for that. So when you add up all the costs, it's costing us a lot more money. Because people were greedy.
You, of course, are running a very successful business of your own, aren't you? These Franciscan pilgrimages. I mean, they're quite expensive for the people who come on them. I'm wondering, how do you personally manage to, if you like, keep the business aspects very much in line with the Franciscan spirituality that you're offering the people who come on these pilgrimages?
First of all, things are expensive these days. I mean, even the airline tickets have jumped quite high. And we try to make things as affordable as possible. Matter of fact, 2 years ago, because the economy was so bad, we froze all of our prices so that to give the people an opportunity. Plus, we give a number of scholarships. We sponsor a lot of Franciscan religious and secular people from various parts of the world to come over. So a number of people from the Philippines, from India and Africa come on pilgrimage. And also, most of our high school pilgrimages are heavily subsidized by ourselves. I mean, their scholarships and the military program, for example, usually our programs cost a few thousand dollars per person. And right now we're only asking $1,200. That's not even enough to cover the airline ticket. And plus they're getting a whole week, if not more, of guidance, meals, and whatever. You know, we had to pay our bills and we had to pay the staff and pay the pensions and the bus companies. But most of the excess, if there is excess, goes towards scholarships. So we really try to be very truly a not-for-profit organization, and the money does not go anywhere else.
You have a huge amount of staff working for you, don't you?
Well, right now there are 5 full-time staff members and about 30 part-time staff members. Friars and sisters and secular Franciscans, married and lay, are all part of the staff. One of the greatest things for me is that if you really want to understand Franciscan spirituality, it's not enough just to read Francis. It's not enough just to read Claire, but it's all of us. The First Order, which would be the Capuchins, Conventuals, the Friars, Minor, plus also the Third Order Regulars. Then you have the Poor Clares, and then you have the number of the Third Order groups of sisters and the Secular Franciscans, married and men. I'm very proud to say that we have members from every part of the family on our staff, and together we present, I think, a real picture of what Francis wanted.
Also, one of the benefits that we have as a Franciscan family is that almost all of our pilgrimages, it is a team of a man and a woman. And that really witnesses to how do we work together, men and women, equally in many places, in many hospitals, at least in the United States, and often in academic settings, there's a glass ceiling. And men and women don't always work well together in the business world. And I believe that we model strongly, how do you work collaboratively with one another?
There is very much a sense that the pilgrimage is a beginning of a journey, isn't it? Because I see people come back to you and are involved, connected with each other long after the experience is over.
That is true. And many times we have not only the continuation, for instance, a health system might come on pilgrimage, they will come every other year or every year bringing people because it was such a powerful experience for the people that worked at their institution. But also we often get calls asking us, could we come back to those institutions, to universities, to healthcare institutions, and do follow-up talks to keep them connected with the spirit of Francis, the spirit of Claire, and helping them articulate how do we do that in today's world.
One of the other areas along that same line is that to go over to Assisi and to Rome is kind of a pilgrimage. It's a tough pilgrimage. Lots of walking, lots of climbing hills, and lots of situations that are hard for those who can make it physically. So what we decided to do was we created a virtual pilgrimage. So a number of us got together and put together a whole package of materials, and even to the point of having passports and plane tickets and menus all in this packet. And then when we go to hospitals or retirement centers, especially for the sisters who will never be able to experience Assisi or anything, and we actually have videos. We have, as I said, you know, one of our staff members actually has people get in line to get their ticket, and they have to go through the hassles of going through security and everything. Again, to give them the full experience of being as much as possible present to the experience of Assisi and Rome. Just one other point just to mention is that the pilgrimage doesn't end when they leave us. You know, we're all in pilgrimage together and as brothers and sisters. And there'll be some tough days ahead, but as long as you have memories of what are the good experiences, they can move on forward.
And many of the pilgrims stay in touch with each other long after the pilgrimage experience is over, from at least being here in Italy. And those kind of communications were often being emailed from groups that have been over and reunions that are happening from various people that were on pilgrimage.
So just quickly, for those who do want to find out more, the website where they can find out all about this is?
The best is www.franciscanpilgrimages.com. And Franciscan Pilgrimage is all one word. And you go into our website, and there you'll find out information about particular pilgrimages, as well as some of the aspects of what you need to bring with you, what's the process, registration, cost, and what to expect, and some comments from staff about their own personal experiences of pilgrimage. That's the best way of getting in touch with us.
Father John and Sister Anne, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks there to Sister Anne Bremer and to Father John Seller from Franciscan Pilgrimage Programs. Once again, to find out more about their work, you can find them at www.franciscanpilgrimages.com. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.